We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Good morning and welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is time for TR in the AM on a Tuesday morning, November the 18th, 2025. Going to incorporate, bring together a couple of concepts on the show this morning. We're going to bring in what DeBoer said and what we think it means. We're going to go through Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer's comments on Monday post loss to the Oklahoma Sooners last Saturday at Bryant-Denny Stadium. The Crimson Tide looking to pick up the pieces with Eastern Illinois visiting Bryant-Denny Stadium this week. And then, of course, the road trip, the ever and all defining road trip to Jordan-Hare Stadium 1 week from Saturday night. We know that's going to be a night game. I think that has some Alabama fans uncomfortable. You got the better team. Go down there and win the game. Perhaps position yourself for Atlanta and beyond in doing so. But certainly going to be a huge, huge moment in the Kalen DeBoer tenure to this point. His first trip down to Jordan-Hare Stadium as Alabama head coach. So hope you're having a great morning. What's your sort of routine this early in the morning? Chime in here in the show chat. We'll try to get to those as well as we work through these Kalen DeBoer comments. I'm a coffee guy. I am probably a victim of the Starbucks movement many years ago. Wasn't much of a coffee guy until Starbucks came around. Got a sip of that. It's kind of like my first sip of Coca-Cola when I was probably, a year or two old. They get you with that Coca-Cola. They got me with the coffee. And so now it's a ritual every morning. First thing within 10 minutes, I have to be consuming coffee. So a lot of things to get into with these comments as it relates to Kalen DeBoer yesterday in Tuscaloosa. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and bring him up here. There you go. There's Kalen right there. And we'll get right into the commentary. And starts with the question about, I believe, the punt return situation against Oklahoma. And then we'll continue on from there. Here is Kalen's.
I think Saturday was the first time this year that y'all have used two players back in punt return. Just kind of was that something y'all saw from Oklahoma that you wanted to try, or is it something they've been kind of building towards all year that it was something you wanted to try on special teams?
Well, their punter was a little erratic. He hit long ones and he did short ones. And so some of the short ones, what would happen is they would roll out and end up being longer kicks because you play for the long game. And so I thought, our guys did a good job of the fielding part. Obviously, we had a turnover, which was a big deal. And so, from a schematic standpoint, that was a lot of the reason for that. And so you saw some of the ones that went longer. Ryan got his hands on those. And obviously field position plays a little bit of a role in that, but there were some shorter ones too. And so, I felt like from a schematic standpoint, what we were doing made sense.
Interesting, because we've seen the sort of twin safety approach in the past. Now, more so under Nick Saban, as I recall, it entailed the rugby punts, those frustrating rugby punts where you get the rolling punter who then gets the punt off and it's a tumbler and it's a roller. What it also can help you with is communication with your return unit personnel, because we saw this, Kalen's points about erratic kicking and short, long. Now, we saw it against South Carolina and how a bad punt can turn out to be a great punt for the punting team, like it did at South Carolina when you had the turnover and the ball went off Jalen Mbakwe, who was working against a gunner for South Carolina. So there's a couple of different ways to look at that. Usually, if you have erratic punters, they are not near the top of the SEC standings in punting, but Auburn has one of those. Oklahoma had one of those guys. Oklahoma, in terms of punting, is near the top of the SEC standings. South Carolina, the same thing, near the top of the SEC standings in punting. Auburn is going to be near the bottom when Alabama goes to Jordan Hare here in a couple Saturdays. So not a Terry Daniel type this season. If you go back, if you're a real old head, you get the reference there as it relates to Auburn punting from way back in the day. But interesting comments from Kalen DeBoer on that front. It did feel like, too, with the offense maybe not trending in a great way here of late, you put your top playmaker back there and you try to make something happen in the return game. And I said this right after the game and in the few shows we've done here, Alabama-related on Ryer on YouTube since, I didn't have a problem with Ryan Williams' effort. You know, Ryan Williams catches heat about not being tough enough from some Alabama fans. Well, he was doing his damnedest to break every tackle in the stadium on that play. And he unfortunately paid the price for it. Give Oklahoma credit. Oklahoma was well-schooled on the punch-out. You know, I felt like Charles Tillman, the former Chicago Bear, maybe was suited up for OU last Saturday the way the Sooners were getting after it with those punch outs. But just a tough break, and it'll be interesting to see where Alabama goes with it moving forward. Again, the primary function of the punt return is to secure possession. No matter what happens, you want to make sure you have possession. And you know, statistically, you look at Alabama in terms of punt returns this season, they're down near the bottom of the SEC. But before South Carolina, they had done a pretty good job of securing possession. I know you can talk about the South Carolina game. Was that, you know, was it a situation where Mbakwe was blocked into the return man? I just didn't like the technique on that. And so for the punt team and the punt return team, it was a little bit of a tough day against Oklahoma on Saturday. Let's get back to Kalen DeBoer here.
With Saturday being senior day, do you have any kind of update on Jamarion Latham and maybe where he stands on looking to come back for a seventh year?
Yeah, nothing as far as what the future holds. I know we'll continue to talk with him on that here. And obviously there would have to be something that's done from the NCAA level to get that year as well.
Jamarion Latham, of course, with the unfortunate injury earlier in the season. It's an interesting group of players that Alabama will honor before Saturday's game against Eastern Illinois. And with the transfer portal and the potential for moves to the NFL, there's a lot to take into consideration here. On the surface, Jeremy Bernard, obviously, major contributor, is going to be honored on Saturday. Josh Cuevas, tight end, major contributor. Cam Dewberry, a starter this season on the offensive line. Damani Jackson really had seen a lot of his reps go to John Lee, the true freshman at corner. I thought Damani has done some better things of late when he's been in there, but you think about the inside linebacker positions, your three guys, really, Nakai Hill-Green, Justin Jefferson, Deontay Lawson, all going to be moving on. The running back position, Jam Miller. The offensive line, those interior offensive line spots between Dewberry and Jaden Roberts and Gino Vandermark, you're going to see honored as well. So it's an interesting group. It's also interesting because of the names you don't necessarily see on this list. Guys that do have remaining eligibility, guys like Parker Brailsford, going to be a very interesting NFL evaluation in Parker Brailsford. Really, really, really good high-level college center, no doubt about it. End of the day's 290 range. Now, maybe if he goes into the draft and he goes into the pre-draft process, he gets to 300 pounds or so. He's considered a center only in the NFL, which there's value in that. You know, you don't have to be necessarily a center guard. I mean, the more things you can do, the better. But if you're a really, really good center, just like if you're a really, really good left tackle, there's a lot of value in that. So, you know, the offensive line, obviously, Caden Proctor is going to be a part of that discussion as well, with the expectation, I would think, for Caden to be a three and out. Who knows? Defensively, a guy you don't see on this list, Keon Saab, that could be back at the safety position. So I would say inside linebacker defensively, Tim Keenan on that defensive line is going to be honored on Saturday. That's going to leave a big hole, but potentially you bring back James Smith. You're not going to bring back LT Overton. He's on this list as well. You have some young guys that have younger guys. I mean, Jordan Renaud at this point isn't a young guy. Edric Hill isn't necessarily a young guy, but you still have some guys maybe in the pipeline that you can work with there on that defensive line. So in addition to Latham and the potential for him, you know, at his position, you're thinking you're bringing back Yonzi Pierre and you would hope Quay Rousseau, which is a guy you're still waiting on to get back on the field. Apparently it was very close for him against Oklahoma. Didn't go against the Sooners, but with Eastern Illinois this week and then Auburn the following Saturday, sounds more and more like the trip to Jordan-Hare is a possibility, a good possibility for Quay Rousseau to get back on the field at that Wolf position. More from Kalen DeBoer on Monday.
Same side, right?
Yeah, the extended time of Wilkin at guard and Michael Carroll at right tackle. What do you think of kind of what they did together?
Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job. You know, I thought there was things where our execution was certainly improved. I thought Wilkin did a nice job getting off the ball in some areas. There's a goal line play that I really felt like he really had a low hat and, you know, showed some things that he's continued to work on. And, you know, Michael was out there competing. You know, he's going to give everything he has. There's no doubt about it. You know, he doesn't look like a freshman. And he's played a lot of snaps this year that are meaningful. And together, I think those guys had a good week of practice. And, you know, again, it wasn't perfect. Things that they could have been better on. But there was a lot of success that they had together as well.
So are we going to continue to see that, I guess, is the bigger question. After we saw Wilkin Formby at right guard and also Michael Carroll at right tackle, I would think you would. I mean, you went pretty much wire to wire with it against a really good Oklahoma defense. Not sure. And I didn't think it was a bad thing either. I thought the run game was improved. Protection was good for the most part. I'm still not sure where exactly the breakdown came on the pressure to tie on the pick six. You know, you look like you sent three guys from the center to the left tackle to one guy in your protection to your left, and you ended up getting hit with a 3-on-2 back to your right. Maybe the back or a back or a protection set wasn't exactly right from the quarterback position or from up in the box. Just really hard to speculate on protections a lot of times. I thought, again, the run game, there were opportunities on top of what Alabama did capitalize on that went missed, probably more so because of the running back position at times. But at this point, you know, 10 games in, I would think you would stick with at least that right side. Left side, maybe we continue to see a little bit of a carousel there at left tackle or at left guard with Dewberry and Vandermark. But maybe a much more limited rotation here as you go into the final two games of the season. We got Shane chiming in here at 6:17 a.m. Central, 7:17 Eastern time. He says he's a straight-up coffee immediately guy. Yeah, I hear you on that. Our good friend Bama Bob chiming in as well. Good morning, Bob. But back to more of Kalen DeBoer and some of his comments from Monday.
Jump over to the front left, Colin.
Hey, Kalen. Two questions, if I may. First, was Deshaun Jones available against Oklahoma? And if so, why did Red Morgan, I guess, take the snaps at Husky?
He was available, but he had a good injury the week before in the game. And that definitely limited a lot of his practice throughout the week. And so that gave Red a more opportunity. Day-Day was available if we needed him.
There you go. Red Morgan extensively against Oklahoma last Saturday. And I'll take it. If that guy's going to set edges and he's going to be a physical presence at least at that Husky possession position, I'll take it. Is he perfect? No, he had the PI against Oklahoma. But you haven't heard me talking as much about lack of edge setting. Alabama has improved, no doubt, in that regard. I think they've made some adjustments to how they play defense. I don't think they've been just exclusively the 3-3-5 that we saw a year ago. We've seen some four linebacker looks at times with three down linemen. They've even played some dime a good bit this year. So kudos to Kane Womack and the defensive staff. Got to give it up to him. But as much as anything with Red Morgan, I like that the guy will tackle or die trying. He brings an edge. He brings physicality to a position where you can't hide it. You know, I think people think of that Husky position and they think, well, defensive back, you know, no. I mean, you have to be a hybrid. You have to be a connector in a lot of ways from the linebacker level to the back end. You know, you have to be able to set edges. You have to be able to cover. It really is a tough, tough position to play. And I'm liking more and more what I'm seeing from Red Morgan. You do hope Day-Day Jones is able to get back on the field. You certainly can use all the healthy Huskies you can get, but big picture wise, Day-Day Jones, one of those guys going to be honored before Eastern Illinois on Saturday. So future looks really, really bright, I would say, for Red Morgan, the second year defensive back. Back to Kalen DeBoer on Monday.
Let's go to Jones right in the middle.
Coach, you addressed the mechanics of the missed field goal on Saturday, but after the missed field goal, the television cameras caught Connor Talty kind of getting upset with David Byrne, the placement of the snap. Just what's your reaction to that, and really what's your message to the entire unit as they look to improve?
Yeah, we're all competitive, and those guys are competitive, and they want to make that kick and have the execution be at a high level. And every single one of those guys are always taking ownership. But obviously in that moment, Connor's a competitive guy, and he knows how important those points are. And, the response and everything like that. Not exactly what you want, but it's also an understanding of, how important it is to these guys. And they work together relentlessly in practice. I see it. There's a cohesiveness that these guys have. And so, in the locker room, I think they got that resolved very quickly after the fact. And we're ready to go out there and execute more throughout the game.
So, yeah, you get it. Heat of the moment. And it is, to sort of Kalen's point, those three guys, those three positions, when you're talking about snapper, punter slash holder like Dowd, and then obviously Connor Talty as a kicker, they are a team within the team. And you go out to a practice, once you get beyond flex, what you see is these 90 to 95 guys over here on a field or two. And then on this third field, you'll see the snapper and the holder punters and the kickers. So they are their own sort of suburb, I would say. It almost looks like a suburb of a metropolitan area. You got all this, if you were to fly over a metropolitan area at night, you would see all these bright lights sort of together in a big, big clump. And then off to the distance, just a little bit, you'd see this almost village of a smattering of lights from above at night. That's specialists. That's the world they live in. So they need to be able to get things smoothed over after a situation like last Saturday. I'm just interested, too, given Talty's struggles of late, more so from inside 40 yards, as I've said here multiple times on the channel since Saturday, more so because of his struggles from inside 40 yards. I'm interested to see if this thing gets opened up. And, hey, if you're consistently having problems in the operation, snap through, hold through, kick, you got to look at some other potential options there too. And they do that. That's the thing. They chart everything every day that they work on it. They chart it and they know what they're getting from those positions. So you got Eastern Illinois this week. You should have some opportunities, you would think, as much as anything, to kick extra points in a game like this. But if you wanted to take a look at some other guys, this would be the week to do it before you head down to a season-defining matchup with the Auburn Tigers at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And again, I still think, and I've been hit with this in the comments on the YouTube videos and everything else, we've suddenly got a lot of kicking coaches out there. I still say, you know, you can talk about Wine with the finger on the kick and all that. Kick was dead from the moment it left Talty's foot. And to me, it's still on Talty. After watching it, I only needed to watch it one time. I've seen bad rotation on kicks. I've had plenty of kicks that had bad rotation. So, you know, it's still the same for me. Spot was on time. Spot was clean. Kick was bad. However anyone wants to remember that kick, remember it however you want. You know, Oklahoma fans are going to remember it. Boy, that Wine, he jumped over the line, got a finger on that field goal and saved the game. Hey, if that's how OU fans want to remember the play, great. You know, it's kind of like Terrence Cody against Tennessee in 2009. That kick never had a chance. I mean, Terrence blocked that with the six on his jersey more so than I think anything else. But hey, whatever works, right? However it fits the lore, go for it. Kalen DeBoer with more.
Far back left, we'll go to Matthew.
Hey, Coach, early in that game, there was a big punt return from Oklahoma. Just what did you see from your special teams on that play?
I saw lots of your Brooks give unbelievable effort from flying down the field, probably 50-plus yards, to almost getting the guy down and then rolling and getting right back up and chasing probably another 50-plus yards the other direction. I think that guy right there gives so much and has been so productive in the special teams all season. I think there might have been about a split second where one or two guys hesitated, and that allowed for a couple blocks or just some just missed tackles, and then we lost a little contain. We knew in the return game, once he got rolling, he had some good speed, and we've done a great job against returners, but it's that one time when you flinch. And I don't know if we flinched, but we hesitated for a second and thought he was going to be down, and the blocks got back on us. And, you know, that's what happens, you know, and it was a big momentum shift early in the game for them. That certainly, you know, got them 3 points, you know, and we understand what the difference in the game was. And so there's a few of those one-off plays that were the difference in the game.
And really all those plays went to Oklahoma, didn't they, on Saturday? And as I said in aftermath and elsewhere here on the channel after the OU game, I didn't really have a problem with Brooks's effort at all. You do wonder about wide receivers as gunners, but then you think about maybe the best gunner or one of the very best gunners Alabama's had in the last 20 years at least was who? Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith, on top of being a Heisman Trophy winner, was a hell of a gunner on punts. He had one against Florida late in that 2020 SEC championship game that effectively ended the game with his effort down there. And Brooks, to DeBoer's point, very much a hustling effort. Couple of guys that I thought, Lottie on that punt, and then Michael Carroll on the pick six. The effort he gave on the return to try to make the tackle on that pick six, just elite. That's what you want. Those two plays looked nothing like Florida State. So however disappointed you are about this latest loss, from an effort perspective, nothing like that. You know, you just kind of killed yourself with some mistakes, and OU made plays. You got to give credit to the Sooners too for that. You know, I think on that punt return, when you do watch it back, Kalen talked about maybe an assumption that the play was made because Satania made such an athletic play to stay on his feet after taking that initial shot from Brooks. And you see some Alabama coverage guys get caught on the right side of that hash out near the numbers. I think QB Reese was one of them, the young linebacker. And once he was inside there, all Satania had to do was get back to the field. And, you know, that was going to be a big return. Satania, a really good return guy. I mean, we had noted that. And it didn't take much to note it because we had seen it in some previous games. So, you know, I thought Brooks did a nice job. I thought Brooks did his job. But the posse has got to fill in the blanks, and you can never assume a tackle on a play like that. Because if you do, you're going to probably get the kind of result Alabama got there, and it was one of those short fields. You know, the short fields killed Alabama the entire game. You could go almost quarter by quarter. Short fields are bad. No fields are worse, and that's what the pick six was. So let's go with some more Kalen here.
We'll go to Theo next.
Coach, really big game for Josh Cuevas. We had the big reception by Edwards. Do you think tight ends could play a bigger role in the passing game moving forward?
Yeah, I think both in particular, Cuevas and Caleb do an amazing job. And that tight end position's always been important to our offense. It's not just the pass game, but it's the run game. And the ability and the flexibility these guys have to line up wide, be in the core, move around, it's not just physical, it's mental capacity to do all these things. I mean, Josh is a stud. I mean, just, you know, see him on the one play, make a guy miss in the flat, toe the sideline, and then, you know, lower the shoulder at the end of the run. It's just the competitiveness he has. And Caleb, you know, just continues to get better. You know, you can see him with pad level for a tall guy continuing to work at it. He's got great hands. He's been, you know, throughout the year, a guy that you can consistently count on to catch the ball in tough places. And so there's more to it with our tight end core, but those two certainly get the brunt of what we do as far as the reps.
Going to miss Josh Cuevas, no doubt about that, especially as Kalen talked about his versatility and how he can give you personnel flexibility. Because you can be an 11 personnel with him in the game, and it still feels like 10. Feels like one back, four wide receivers than 11. Now, the other side of that is if you miss Robbie Oots in an area, or you miss C.J. Dupree maybe in an area, and not that either one of those guys were necessarily the best blocking tight ends Alabama's ever had, but they were up there. You missed that, I think, in the run game. I think it's okay if one of your guys is primarily a little bit of a hybrid player at the tight end position, but you still need that one ass kicker in the run game. And it's not that I don't think Cuevas and Edwards aren't willing to get the job done. And so I think they're willing guys, but maybe that's where you've missed Danny Lewis this season because of the injuries that he's dealt with, or the injury he's dealt with throughout the season. He could maybe be more of that guy, but I don't see a Michael Williams type as a blocker in the run game. Caleb Edwards, very bright future as a true freshman. Don't think there's any doubt about that. I think you know, the stumble bum play was pretty insane that we saw Saturday. The ingenuity, the innovativeness from Ryan Grubb is great. But run game viability in the upcoming offseason is going to be very important. And we understand Grubb's history. We understand Kalen's history. And that's okay as long as there isn't this sort of regression in the area that's most important as you get towards the end of the year, understanding the more tape you put out there, the harder it's going to become. And you kind of become who you are as you move through a season. You know, the scoring numbers have to sustain to an extent. You know, I'm not saying, again, you're going to average 40 a game in SEC play throughout. That's, if that's what you're looking for, you can expect it or hope for it, but realistically, you're probably not going to get that. But there's no doubt, being able to score on a consistent basis. And part of that goes back to, as much as we can talk about a lack of a run game and all those things, it's okay as long as you're not turning the ball over. And that's been problematic of late more than anything else. You can't be -3 in turnover margin and get the job done. And that was more the problem, I think, Saturday than anything else. What else do we have here from Kaylin?
Our last question will be from Emily Grace, front right.
Coach, you mentioned that dialed-in approach that you're seeing. How thin is the margin of teams that use a loss like this to dig in and get better, like we've already seen your team do, and those that let it define them? And why has this team been able to show that they've been on the right side of that?
Yeah, I mean, these guys, and again, I got in a locker room, and it didn't surprise me, and I shared that with you, or you could feel what the hurt was, but also what the response would be. And the week of practice last week was phenomenal. And we can, again, I've shared with you guys many times how we can track that, how we can see it, how we can feel it, how we can, you know, understand what that looks like. And the competitiveness, the fight that those guys had, it wouldn't have been there at that level if it wouldn't have been invested in the early part of the week and the process that these guys go through. And that will continue to be the case. We have to use this week to continue to get better. And that is the priority. That's where our head needs to be. And in order for us to continue to have the outcomes we want, we got to make it as simple as possible and focus on what we can control. And that's our mindset, our attitude, and then that leading to the effort and, continually each and every day get better.
Yeah, you know, it's also interesting, man, when you look at some of these coaches at this point in the season, it looks like they haven't slept. It looks like they haven't had a bite to eat or that much to eat. That's kind of what I think of looking at Kalen DeBoer there, not just in college football either. I mean, the NFL, if you watch some of those coaches, it is a job that will age you tremendously over the course of the season. Kind of had that thought just watching Kalen there. It takes a toll. There's no doubt about it. But in terms of rebounding from this second loss, when you think about the to-do list for Alabama after Florida State, I mean, where did you start? I mean, the effort wasn't good enough against Florida State. Ball security wasn't good enough. Just about any area of the football team, each and every area of the football team wasn't good enough. Defensively, certainly wasn't good enough. Offensively wasn't good enough. Special teams wasn't good enough. So comparatively to that loss, coming out of the second loss, it's a much shorter to-do list between Eastern Illinois and then going to Auburn in two Saturdays. It's as simple in some ways as cleaning up the turnovers. You know, take better care of the football, starting with Ty Simpson. You know, this has reached a streak where it's got to come to a stop. We can talk about the limited numbers of interceptions and all those things. That's great. But turnovers are turnovers from the quarterback position. So if you're fumbling it and losing it five times, that's an inordinate number. And just like if you had thrown 12 interceptions at this point in the season, I think he has 7 turnovers now through 10 games. That's not a crazy high number, but you know, it's not minimal. It's not optimum either. So it starts there for Alabama with this to-do list after this loss. So again, relative to the first loss of the season, not as much seemingly in terms of pieces to pick up. Defensively, I don't think there is. I mean, you're going to have to continue to plan for some things that you plan for against Oklahoma with the potential for the real potential and likelihood of quarterback run game from Auburn coming up in a couple of Saturdays. But and defensively, I think it's going to be similar to what you saw from Oklahoma. So, you know, clean up the turnovers, take better care of the football. And I think the chances are still really good. I think, what is that initial number for the Iron Bowl? Is it 6? Seems low to me. I don't know. But you know what? I thought Alabama was was okay against Oklahoma. And again, though, without the turnovers, which is like saying, you know, I'd walk great as long as I still had my big toe. You know, it matters. It all counts, unfortunately, for Alabama. So there you go. There is some what DeBoer said and what we think it means. I almost caught myself back in those old days, right? When we started what Saban said back all those years ago and what we think it means. What about some comments? What about some comments from the viewership here? Brian Green says, too much sugar-coated sunshine pumping for me. This offense has fallen off in the most important stat. Yeah, we just talked about that, Brian. You got to score. You got to maintain scoring by ability. And they have struggled with that. But it becomes a bigger problem, too, when you turn the football over three times like you did. Shane here, never looked it up, but curious how many throwaways for Ty in the OU game and maybe past turnover games. Yeah, he hasn't been a big throwaway guy. And I thought Oklahoma did a good job, too, with taking away his checkdowns, or at least making him uncomfortable with coming down to those guys, whether it was Jam, whether it was Quavis or some of those guys that you expect. Brian back in here. The offensive line has run out of time to have five guys gel together. Can't swap personnel 9 weeks in a row and be able to know who plays well together. It's been a season-long situation, no doubt about it, Brian. And I'm of the belief that right now you roll with the five or six that you went with against Oklahoma, because I do think there were more extended stretches of at least solid play. I'm not saying Joe Moore award-winning play, which, by the way, in the preseason, that's what we were hearing for this offensive line. Remember that? Going to be one of the top units in all of college football. Hasn't played out that way. I don't think they've been terrible probably as much as some people do, but they certainly haven't been. They haven't been the strength that a lot of people thought they would be as a unit. There you go. That's going to do it for TR in the AM on a Tuesday right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, we'll hope you'll go ahead and take the time to do that. Right now, hit that subscribe button. Smash that like for us. That would help us out on the channel as well. Couple of radio media appearances coming up this morning in just a few minutes. About 20 minutes, I'll be on in Mobile with Lee and Mark. And then a little bit later, around, I think it's 8 Central, I'll be on with Barry and John out of Montgomery. Man, about 20-plus years with those guys. I'll be on with those guys coming up around 8 Central. So some media hits around the state of Alabama coming up here in the next couple hours. So this show will archive on Ryer on YouTube. We'll also have it in podcast form, whether it's Stitcher, Spotify, Apple. You will be able to access it as well if you're a podcast person. So know that we are available on those platforms for you as well. Travis Ryer, hoping you have a great rest of your Tuesday. Thanks for getting up early with us here on TR in the AM. And until next time, so long, everybody.